Hello, I'm Sean from Reception at Beacon. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for Wednesday, 21st of October, 2020.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightloss charity Beacon Centre. I'm Simon, your narrator for this week's edition. A message to our listeners who receive the Talking News on CD in the post. This remains in paper envelopes and not the usual plastic wallets, so there's still no need to send anything back to us. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online by visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast on the Black Country Radio website www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button. And on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Reading this week, we have Ian, Christine, Mina, Helen, Flashback Roger, Pete, Angela, and of course me, Simon. Now this week, we welcome all of you listening on Alexa, a brand new way of listening to the Black Country Talking News. More on that a little bit later on. Included this week is an update from Beacon, local news stories including an OBE for blind Dave Healy, in sightloss news, how to order your large print 2021 diaries, the big quiz with Mina, news from the Wolves in West Bromwich Albion, Flashback Roger has more fascinating facts as we look back at this week in history. We have a look at why and when the clocks go back, and yes, it's that time of year again. The weather for the weekend and next week, and our little music quiz at the end. Now, last week's music quiz, where were we? Over to you, Pete.
So let's carry on from where we left off last week then. We set you a music quiz, three questions, and we asked you to name the song title. So we missed out a word and asked you to name the song title. So how did you get on? Let's start off. 1958 was the first one. It was Perry Como and Catch a Falling Star. So star was the word we were looking for. 1958, Perry Como, Catch a Falling Star. A year later, from 1959, it was Cliff Richard and the Shadows and Travelling Light. That was the answer we were after there. Travelling Light, Cliff Richard and the Shadows. And finally, from 1960... Dwayne Eddy, Because They're Young. That was the answer there. Because They're Young, Dwayne Eddy. Did you know that last one? Well, don't worry too much about it. Another music quiz coming up at the end.
And thank you to Andy Coulson for sending in the questions. So let's start off with some Black Country news now with Angela, Ian, but first up, it's Christine.
Dudley Council's Cabinet Member for Health has reminded businesses of the need to comply with COVID-19 restrictions or risk facing fines and legal action. The warning follows spot inspection checks at pubs and takeout premises in Dudley Town Centre as part of a joint operation from Dudley Council's Environmental Health and West Midlands Police. Under current coronavirus restrictions, licensed premises and takeaway premises close to the public at 10 p.m. each night. 9 licensed premises and 8 takeaway premises were visited. All but one were found to be compliant with the 10 p.m. closing time. Chicken Hut in Dudley was found to be in breach of the requirement to close at 10 p.m. Customers were in the shop after 10 p.m. and enforcement action has been taken against the premises. Of the licensed premises visited, most were found to have made reasonable efforts to comply with working safety during coronavirus requirements and no enforcement action was required. All were taking customer contact details and face coverings were being worn by most customers and staff. The operation, which was supported by the local authority's licensing team, also undertook closure checks on 4 other licensed premises after 10 p.m. all were found to be closed in accordance with the law. Councillor Nicholas Barlow, Cabinet Member for Health and Adult Social Care, said, "We are greatly encouraged from the outcome of this operation, where the vast majority of our businesses and residents were seen to be adhering to the restrictions. I'm particularly pleased to know that the premises have been very receptive to working with us to help keep themselves, their staff and their customers safe. We are now providing some of the venues with follow-up advice and support on test and trace, table layouts and social distancing to help them make further improvements. The minority of business owners who may be considering flouting the rules should be warned that future exercises may be carried out, as we will continue to do all we can to minimise the spread of the coronavirus." Inspector Sarah Long from the Dudley Neighbourhood Team at West Midlands Police said, "I am really pleased that the vast majority of businesses are following the rules, as they are vital to prevent the escalation of the virus in Dudley. We will continue to monitor and enforce where proportionate and appropriate, working with our partners and the community to keep Dudley safe."
An MP says that the number of people claiming unemployment benefit in his constituency is almost double the national average percentage. For Pat McFadden's Wolverhampton South East seat, there were 6,625 claimants in September, which was 11.4% of the population aged 16 to 64 years, while the UK claimant rate was 6.5%. It was 115 higher than August and 2,700 up on March, before the UK lockdown began. These figures show that the numbers out of work are rising, with the claimant count in my constituency being almost double the national average. The government's plans to withdraw furlough support at the end of this month were always going to result in a big increase in joblessness. The U-turn last week only offers people two-thirds of their previous pay and doesn't cover self-employed people at all, said Mr. McFadden. Ministers have to decide whether they are prepared to let unemployment take its course or keep support at a level which prevents that, he added. The constituency had 1,280 claimants aged 18 to 24 years old last month, 45 higher than August, and 525 up on March. Leaders warned the UK risked a second wave of job cuts and a slower economic recovery if it did not extend its furlough scheme. Under the coronavirus job retention scheme, workers placed on leave had received 80% of their pay, up to a maximum of £2,500 a month.
People with COVID-19 symptoms in Wolverhampton will now be able to get a walk-in test. The walk-in test centre at Falkland Street in the city centre will take up to 50 people per day as walk-ups without prior appointment as part of a pilot project. People who develop symptoms of the virus should immediately self-isolate and try to book a test. However, if they cannot reserve a slot for any reason, they will now be able to attend the Falkland Street Centre without prior appointment, on a first-come, first-served basis. The city's four other test centres, a drive-through centre at Aldersley Leisure Village, and a walk-through centres at Shoal Road, Blakenhall Community Resource Centre and Mountford Lane in Bilston, remain by appointment only.
Emergency food parcels will continue to be delivered to food banks in need across Wolverhampton up to Christmas, council chiefs have announced. Wolverhampton Council has been sending out the parcels weekly since the start of the pandemic to help those most in need amid a surge in demand. And now chiefs have confirmed they will continue to supply food banks in the city up to Christmas, with 1,000 boxes of food a week delivered. Councillor Ian Brookfield, leader of Wolverhampton Council, said, "Looking after our own and helping our most vulnerable citizens has been the mantra of the council throughout this crisis. Whether that be the 1 million plus meals we deliver directly to people shielding at the height of the pandemic, or the weekly supplies of food we have continued to provide to food banks, which do such amazing work to provide a lifeline to people in need. We have now decided to keep this support to food banks going for another 3 months because we know how much it is needed at a time when more people are losing their jobs because of the crisis and more people need help to put food on the table. it will see The Well, Adventist Food Bank, Bilston People's Centre and Excel Church, Stratton Street Park Village and the Elias Mattus Foundation benefit from the deliveries. The foundation in Penfields, set up by Councillor Asha Matu and named after her late husband and former mayor Elias Matu, delivers to almost 500 people each week. She said, "A lot of people have no income coming in. They've lost their job because of the pandemic and are perhaps waiting 6 weeks for their universal credit to start. So they come to food banks like us because they've got nowhere else to turn. We have others who are shielding, who don't have family to ask to get their shopping, and we help them as well. I get 200 boxes full of supplies delivered every week by the council. If it wasn't for these weekly deliveries, we would really be struggling to keep going. They are a lot of help." Caroline Price, project leader from the Well Food Bank, added, "Over the past 6 months, The Well has delivered food and toiletry parcels to 2,300 households, supporting 5,500 people. The weekly donation of the council food boxes have been a great support in this work, not only to us, but to other projects we have shared them with. Sadly, we are expecting referrals to rise in the coming months, so the continuation of this support is really appreciated."
Pub group Marston's has announced it is to axe about 2,000 jobs as a result of new COVID-19 restrictions. The Wolverhampton-based group, which has pubs across the region, said the 2,150 people currently on furlough would be affected. It comes as the group posted a 30% drop in annual sales amid the pandemic. Pubs across the UK face a range of restrictions, from curfews and reduced capacity to enforced table service. Last week, it emerged Marston's joint venture with Carlsberg had been cleared by the Competition and Markets Authority, with the deal now set to be completed by the end of the month.
Three more local news bulletins coming up shortly, but now it's time for our weekly update from Beacon.
Hi everyone, it's Helen, back with the latest roundup from the Beacon Centre. We start this week with news of our latest fundraising appeal. 2020 will definitely be a year that we'll never forget. For many of us, we'll remember lockdown and the joys of homeschooling, getting to grips with Zoom calls, talking to loved ones through windows, and let's not forget the hunt for the elusive toilet roll. But sadly, here at the Beacon Centre, lockdown meant our doors had to close, our activity rooms were empty, our shop doors shut, and our minibuses parked up. Our charity had to adapt almost overnight to the new normal. Our small care team found themselves on the front line, looking after people like you 24 hours a day. And over the past 6 months, we've made in the region of 8,000 welfare calls to make sure that nobody was left feeling alone. We've listened and witnessed the horrendous physical and emotional impact of COVID-19 on everyone, but it's had a devastating financial impact on our charity as well. Over the past 197 days, the Beacon Centre for the Blind has lost a staggering £682,000 from not being able to run face-to-face services or fundraising events and having to close our shops for months. We've been part of a community for 145 years and we're doing everything we can to make sure we're here for another 145. If you've supported us in recent months, a heartfelt thank you. But we still need your support now more than ever as we struggle to recover from the effects of this crisis so we can start to help our members get back what they've lost. Will you support our new appeal and become a beacon of hope to help us rebuild so we continue to support our members, their families and local sight loss community? To donate £5, all you need to do is text Beacon Hope, that's all one word, Beacon Hope, to 70085. Texts cost £5 plus one standard rate message and you'll be opting in to hear more about our work in fundraising via telephone and SMS. If you'd like to give £5 but do not wish to receive marketing communications, text Beacon Hope No Info to 70085. That's Beacon Hope No Info to 70085. Alternatively, you can also visit our website to donate. It's www.beaconhope.org beaconvision.org/beacon-of-hope. That's www.beaconvision.org/beacon-of-hope. Now, we know that keeping in touch with the outside world has been tougher than ever this year. That's why we're so delighted to announce that our Talking News is now available on Alexa. If you have an Alexa-enabled device, all you need to do is ask it to play the Black Country Talking News, and you'll be able to enjoy it from the comfort of your own home. Don't forget, you can also listen via our website, beaconvision.org/talking-news, or the British Wireless for the Blind app. Lastly, this week, we've all had enough of 2020, right? Well, now you can start planning for 2021, as you can get your large print diaries and calendars through the Beacon Centre. You can choose from the following items: diaries, including A6 pocket diary, A5 mini diary, A4 desk diary, A4 academy diary, A4 jumbo diary, calendars, A3 portrait wall calendar, A3 landscape wall calendar, important dates reminder, A4 and A5 telephone books, A4 and A5 address books. To order yours, all you need to do is contact one of our sight loss advisors on 01902 880 111. As usual, we hope you all stay safe. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Don't worry, we'll run through the 2021 diary information again a little bit later on in our sight loss news. More local news now with Ian and Christine, but first up, it's Angela.
6 new CCTV cameras will be installed in Leigh as part of a £1.7 million upgrade of Dudley's camera network. Over the past few months, the old, outdated system has been replaced with new cameras capable of more detailed images and evidence gathering. Town centres in Halesowen, Dudley, Stourbridge and Briley Hill are now complete. Other areas have also been added to the programme of work, including Sedgley Town Centre and Castle Gate, and Coronation Gardens in Dudley. The positions of the cameras in Leigh are being carefully planned, following detailed analysis of the area and information from police. The scheme is the biggest overhaul of closed-circuit cameras in the council's history and replaces old and outdated cameras, which suffered repeated breakdowns and costly repairs. It's been done in partnership with police and gives clearer images of sites which can help in catching and prosecuting offenders, the authority says. A new control room is being built as part of the plans, and discussions are underway to add traffic cameras. The cameras could be installed later this year.
A university campus for construction excellence, situated on the site of a former Wolverhampton brewery, has formally opened. The University of Wolverhampton School of Architecture and Built Environment opened on Monday, with a special ceremony taking place. The new building, designed by Birmingham-based Associated Architects, forms part of the university's £120 million regeneration of the Springfield site. A virtual celebration was live-streamed with an official ribbon-cutting ceremony by the city's mayor and university graduate, Councillor Claire Dark.
Dudley Castle has been named as one of more than 200 historic sites across the UK at risk of being lost forever by Historic England. The Grade 1 listed structure, also a scheduled monument, has been selected by the government agency for this year's Heritage at Risk register. The list, which has seen 216 sites added, identifies historic sites most in need of help in order to be preserved for future generations to enjoy. Leaders in the borough have welcomed the move by Historic England to put the site in the spotlight, which allows them more opportunities to save it from ruin. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of the Dudley Council, said, "We have been working very closely with Historic England and the zoo over the past few years to try and find the best solutions to protect the castle for future generations. Following visits from Historic England to the town in October last year, we were advised that for Dudley Castle to receive the most amount of help, it would need to be added to the Heritage at Risk register. We published a vision for Dudley for Castle Hill in May last year, which contained more than £13 million worth of proposals to protect heritage assets, including the castle. During our ongoing negotiations with Historic England, we also submitted a bid to them in March this year for a repair grant for the castle. Our bid to them was successful, and it will be used to fund initial surveys to inform of the scope and cost of the work needed, for which we will then target further funding opportunities. This may include a joint bid with the zoo to external funders, such as the National Lottery Heritage Fund. Today's announcement by Historic England has not come as any surprise to us. We have been working closely with Historic England on a targeted and phased approach to the repair of the castle. With it now being added to the register, we consider this to be a helpful step, as it will open up new funding opportunities to enable us to secure the future of one of Dudley's best-known landmarks. The castle is owned by Dudley Council and sits on land leased by the local authority to Dudley Zoo.
New housing developments in Netherton are now within reach after special machinery was brought onto site to demolish high-rise flats. Dudley Council appointed contractors earlier this year to begin the demolition of Arley and Compton Court in Netherton. After preliminary work, the contractors have now brought a high-reaching machine onto the site to begin the deconstruction of the decades-old flats. The demolition of neighbouring Wells and Manor Court is expected to start in the coming weeks. Following a survey of the council's housing stock a few years ago, the four blocks, which were built in the 1960s, were deemed no longer fit for purpose, and it was estimated it would cost millions of pounds to repair them and bring them up to modern day standards. The council took the decision to demolish the blocks, and it is currently proposed to use the land to create new and affordable homes in the area. The council has worked closely with residents, and since October 2016, more than 180 tenants have moved into better housing. The demolition of Arley Court and Compton Court should be complete by December 2020.
The unemployment rate dropped by 0.4% in the West Midlands in the 3 months to August, the only region in the country to see a fall as it bucked the national trend. For the West Midlands, while the unemployment figure was static at 135,000, the unemployment rate dropped from 4.9% to 4.5%, and it was the only region to see a fall. The total in employment in the region was 2.79 million. Numbers claiming unemployment benefits, including Universal Credit, in the West Midlands dropped slightly last month by 60 to 271,845 from August, with a rate of 7.4% of the working population. In the Black Country, only Walsall and Sandwell saw claimants rise by 90 in Walsall to 15,410, 8%, and 80 in Sandwell to 19,435, which is 9.5%. Wolverhampton remained at 17,280, or 10.6%, with Dudley down 7.7%, or 35, to 14,830. In Staffordshire, claimants were down 135 to 26,595, 5%, with Cannock Chase seeing a drop of 115 to 3,700, or 5.8%.
More local news coming up, but now it's the big quiz. It's that time of the week again. Have you got the questions, Mina?
I have, and I'm ready to test you again with our flashback quiz, with questions on what happened on this week in history, with our answers coming up in our flashback section later. So, are you ready? Question one. How many lives is it said a pigeon saved in World War II? Question two. What was the nationality of Michael Stifel, who predicted the end of the world in 1533? Question 3. In what year was Sir Christopher Wren born? Question 4. What was the name of the famous trumpeter who ran for president of the USA in 1963? Question 5. In 1905, Gertrude Ederle swam the English Channel, but what was her time? And finally, question 6. How much was the train driver fined for driving too fast when he crashed his train at the Montparnasse train derailment in Paris in 1895? Flashback Roger will give away the answers a little later in our flashback section. That's track 19 if you can't wait. But if you miss them, I'll run through them at the end of this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. And that's track 27. I'll be back later. Good luck.
And next up, it's track 13, local news. So let's hand over to Ian.
The first steel beams have been installed for the new spectator balconies at Wolverhampton's Civic Halls. Bosses now hope the refurbished halls will reopen to the public in early 2022, after the pandemic delayed the already troubled project. The scheme to revamp the 82-year-old Civic and Wolfram Halls has hit a series of snags since it was first announced in 2015, with Wolverhampton Council admitting to failings over inadequate project management and poor planning. However, work is now moving forwards and contractors Wilmot Dixon Interiors have set up a mobile crane inside the historic Grade 2 listed halls to manoeuvre heavy steel beams into place. Councillors say the improvements to the building are critical to ensuring the halls remain a top entertainment venue for generations to come, generating millions of pounds a year and creating hundreds of jobs in the local economy. The revamp will see a second balcony installed for the Civic Hall and a balcony put in at the Wolfram Hall to provide extra seating. The height above the stage to the rear of the Civic Hall will also be increased in the hope of attracting bigger shows. There will also be wider seats, bigger bars, expanded toilet facilities, lift access to the new balconies, better access for disabled visitors, a greater number of accessible viewing points, and a new air conditioning system.
Community groups and council leaders in the region have expressed their joy after more than 60 parks and open spaces were handed Green Flag Awards. A total of 63 locations across the Black Country, Birmingham and Staffordshire made the grade, which is the national standard for spaces across the UK. Groups across the region have also been handed Community Awards and Green Heritage Site Awards alongside the main accolade by Chiefs. Dudley saw 8 claim Green Flag Awards, including Buffery Park, Huntingdream Park, Mary Stevens Park, Priory Park, Saltwells Nature Reserve, among others. A further 13 made the grade in Sandwell, including Barnford Park, Brunswick Park, Sandwell Valley Country Park, Worley Woods, and the Canal and River Trust's Mainline Canal, which runs from Birmingham to Smethwick. Wolverhampton's Bantock Park, East Park, Penderford Mill Nature Reserve and West Park joined them, along with 6 sites in Cannock Chase, including Hensford Park and the Star Cop Cemetery, with 2 in South Staffordshire, Bagridge Country Park and 1 Brook Walk.
A campaign has begun to help bring new life to an historic part of the Black Country Canal network. Adam Davies has started work with Keith Stevens from the Canal and River Trust on a heritage project at the Delph Nine Locks in Brierley Hill. The project would involve upgrading the Delph Stable, believed to be one of the last surviving canal stable blocks in the region. Adam, 26, who has lived in the area near the locks for more than 15 years, spoke about his aims for the project with the stable and the locks, which had been in the area since 1779, and that the project was very much a passion for him, as he said he enjoyed many years of walking along the canal and wanted to help revamp it. He said, "I've enjoyed speaking to people about this area, and a few people have told me how tired and sad it looks around here with graffiti and a generally tired look. Keith Stevens from Canal and River Trust spoke about the benefits of living next to water and urged people to get in touch with ideas about what could be done with the canal and Delph locks. He said, "Research has shown that living close to water can make you happier and healthier, so this is a big part of our work to encourage people to come and see the canal. This is not just to learn about the heritage of the area, but to help their own well-being. The Delph locks are Grade 2 listed and are the last surviving stables of their type in the Black Country, as well as in a conservation area. We're asking local people to let us know what they would like us to do with the stable block, as it is an original waterway gem and we want to give it a new lease of life. To contact Adam and to find out more, email adam.brierleyhill@gmail.com.
Newhampton Arts Centre in Wolverhampton, Lichfield's Garrick Theatre and the Birmingham Royal Ballet are among hundreds of arts venues and organisations confirmed to receive a share of £257 million to help them survive. The government cash is part of a £1.6 billion culture recovery fund to help protect more than 1,300 places hit by COVID-19, which form the soul of our nation, Culture Secretary Oliver Dowden said. Recipients in the West Midlands will receive almost £17 million, with the funding aimed at helping performances restart, assisting venues to plan for reopening and protecting jobs. Newhampton Arts Centre and the Arena Theatre in Wolverhampton have been given £95,151 and £50,000 respectively, while Steel Mill Events, which runs the KK's Steel Mill venue in the city, was handed £117,000. The People's Orchestra in Sandwell received £54,000, while there was also £50,000 for the Black Country Dance Hub in Walsall, £80,000 for Claptrap, the venue in Stourbridge, and £57,900 for the River Rooms in the town, as well as £250,000 for Stafford's Gatehouse Theatre.
Pubs and cafes across the region are inviting people who work from home to come in and hire a desk in a bid to give isolated employees a boost. The scheme, which is fast growing popular across the Black Country, Staffordshire and the wider nation, sees pubs, bars and cafes invite workers in to take a table for a set period of time where they can work for a small fee, often including hot drinks and some food. It's been set up to help those who may be working from home alone and miss the social aspects of working with others. Hayley Hall, landlady at Lichgate Tavern in Wolverhampton, said she's found it to be a popular idea. She said, "We have a function room that's not being used at all, as there's no events, so we've invited people to come and work in the pub. For me, it's mainly about helping with the mental health of people continuing to work from home and the isolation they face. They do need to book, and it's £10 for 3 hours. They get free Wi-Fi, a power socket, unlimited tea and coffee, a cob and a packet of crisps too, and access to a wireless printer. It's just so they can have a change of scenery, gets them out and in somewhere safe and secure. It's still early days, but the idea has really taken off."
A final local news roundup on the way, plus news from our local football clubs too. Now, those 2021 large print diaries with the sightless news, here's Pete.
So I guess it's coming to that time of year again where we order our 2021 diaries. With me, Becky Green, who's our engagement manager at Beacon. I want a diary, what do I do?
All you need to do is get in contact with Beacon on 01902 880 111 to speak to one of our sight loss advisors who will be able to discuss with you different options for large print diaries and calendars.
So we've got a range of them in. They're yellow and black. I know some of you have had these before. The large print, there's A4, A5, and there's some wall calendars as well, is that right?
Yeah, we have wall calendars. We have ones that fit in your handbag. We have ones that fit on your desk. We've got all sorts.
And to write with them, of course, a range of pens to help with large print.
Yes, we also have fine pens and broad tip pens available. Again, just get in contact with one of our sight loss advisors for more information.
In our Beacon update earlier, we ran through the range of diaries that are available. So let's go through them again with Helen.
Diaries including A6 pocket diary, A5 mini diary, A4 desk diary, A4 academy diary, A4 jumbo diary. Calendars, A3 portrait wall calendar, A3 landscape wall calendar, important dates reminder, A4 and A5 telephone books, A4 and A5 address books.
And if you'd like to order your 2021 diaries, please give us a call. That number again, 01902 880 111.
All of Beacon's contact details will be coming up at the end of this week's edition. But if you missed it, 01902 880 111 is the number you need. Our final local news roundup now with Ian, Angela, but first up, it's Christine.
The first 10 brands set to open at the £160 million new designer outlet in Cannock have been revealed. Tommy Hilfiger, Rice, Kurt Geiger, Guess, Calvin Klein, Ted Baker, Adidas and Le Creuset have been revealed as the first of the 80 brands set to open at the MacArthur Glen outlet early next year. Starbucks and Wagamama are the first food and drink names revealed. All 10 brands have started preparing for recruitment, with all vacancies set to be advertised online in the next few weeks. MacArthur Glen Designer Outlet West Midlands is due to open early in 2021. It was originally due to open this autumn, but was delayed due to coronavirus. More brands will be announced as the centre gears up for opening and works at the site are nearing completion with internal fit-outs underway. Outside, the 1,400 space car park is now finished and work to create a children's play area is also making progress. The centre will also feature links to the local nature reserve with a raised walkway offering views and connectivity between the two sites. Almost 400 new trees have been planted as part of the development.
Television antiques expert Thomas Forrester has snapped up a real bargain for himself in the Midlands. The bargain hunt favourite is busy expanding his business interests by buying up Aston's Auctioneers. It is the latest investment Thomas has made in our region. His wife Jessica is from the Black Country and they now live on the Shropshire border near Newport. He was at the auction house in Tower Street, Dudley, which had been run by father and son Phil and Chris Aston, to shake hands on the deal. Thomas says he loves the area and is already active in his work as an antiques dealer across the West Midlands, Shropshire and Staffordshire. And he is still busy making new programmes of Bargain Hunt, a programme that has spawned a number of similar shows on TV. He said, "I married a Black Country girl and she brought me up here. And I soon fell in love with the area. I have been doing regular valuations in Wombourne at Connolly & Co. I love being up here. The people are so friendly. When this opportunity came up in the trade press, Jessica and I had a chat with our business partner and decided to go for it. It seems like a lovely fit." He said he still loved appearing on BBC One's Bargain Hunt, on which he first featured 20 years ago. "It has opened up the world of antiques to a new audience, and has also turned Thomas into an unlikely celebrity, along with other shows like Antiques Road Trip."
2 days of live music from legendary UK bands are set to rock Wolverhampton next summer as the city hosts the first ever Creation Day Festival. Happy Mondays, Editors, Ash, Echo and the Bunnymen, Black Grape and Sleeper are just some of the acts set to take the stage in West Park over the weekend of May the 29th and 30th, 2021. Creation Day Festival forms part of Wolverhampton Council's project to boost the economy and attract more visitors into the area. The two-day event has been organised by the Council in partnership with Tora Tora Festivals and Alan McKee, founder of the Creation Records label. Other attractions at the two-day event include a fairground and a wide variety of food and drink stalls. Due to the ongoing coronavirus situation, the festival may be subject to change. Tickets will be on sale in a limited capacity. This will be reviewed over time and more tickets may be released depending on national guidance.
When I first got the email, I thought someone was taking the mick. To get a thank you from Queen and Country, that's just the bee's knees. Blind Dave Healy from West Bromwich said he was over the moon to receive an OBE for his charitable fundraising. The 62-year-old charity champion and father of three is the first blind person to complete the Seven Marathon Challenge in 2008 and has raised an incredible £3 million for different charities by taking part in various challenges across an entire decade. Dave Healy, fondly known as Blind Dave, also released a movie about his life last year, which was screened at West Bromwich Odeon. The film told of his incredible feat of completing seven marathons in 7 days across seven continents back in 2008. The work to get him an OBE has been rumbling on behind the scenes since 2016, and Blind Dave said he was so emotional when he found out. He said, "I really am lost for words. I feel so privileged. To get a thank you from Queen and Country, that's just the bee's knees. You can't get any higher. I've been quite emotional about it all. It's really brilliant." He added, "When I first got the email, I thought someone was taking the mick. I immediately called my wife Deb over to look. Turned out she'd been hiding it from me since 2016. There's been a lot of people behind the scenes getting this, and I just want to thank them all. I was far from expecting it. I'd just carry on and crack on. I've had so much support over the years. There's been so many people and I just want to grab them all and give them a big hug and say thank you. This isn't Blind Dave OBE, but Team Blind Dave OBE." His feats have included swimming in icy waters from the former Rock Island prison of Alcatraz in America and a 160-mile run across the Sahara Desert in Africa in sweltering conditions. He has also walked across the Great Wall of China. And he hasn't let lockdown stop him from running regularly around the Black Country. His regular guide, Tony Ellis, wasn't able to join him on his jogs outdoors when lockdown restrictions came into place this year, so two of Dave's daughters stepped in to help.
A date for when Wolverhampton will host the Commonwealth Games cycling time trial event has officially been set. Around 90 competitors are expected in West Park in the city on August the 4th, 2022, for the competition across the men's and women's events. Now organisers behind the Birmingham 2022 event are closely working with others to find a suitable route to best showcase key landmarks. The Commonwealth Games will run from July the 28th to August the 8th, 2022, and will be the largest sports event to be held in UK since the 2012 Olympic and Paralympic Games, and will feature 19 sports, with 8 para sports integrated into the programme, creating the biggest para sports offering in Commonwealth Games history.
Sports news on its way, but now the answers to the big quiz as we look back at this week in history. What are we going to learn this week? Well, here's Flashback Roger.
Hi, everybody. This is our Flashback section, where we take a look at some events that happened during the week of the 18th to the 25th of October of past years, and where you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that were set earlier. On October the 18th, 1943, in World War II, US bombings were scheduled against German positions in Calvi Vecchia in Italy. However, British troops had captured the village. Unable to get a message to the Americans to stop the bombings, they sent a carrier pigeon named G.I. Joe. The pigeon travelled the 20 miles in 20 minutes just in time to halt the bombings. G.I. Joe's swift flight is credited with saving over 1,000 lives. On October the 19th, 1533, German monk Michael Stiefel predicted the end of the world would come on that date at 8 a.m. But as it didn't happen, Stiefel had to be taken into protective custody with the villagers chanting death threats outside his cell because they hadn't bothered storing food for the following winter, believing of course that their end had come. Stiefel was an influential mathematician, inventor of an early form of logarithms and a coiner of the term exponent. But unfortunately, he was a rubbish soothsayer. Born on October the 20th, 1632, Sir Christopher Wren was born. This English architect designed and built St Paul's Cathedral in London. It was started in 1675. Wren died in 1710, but he saw the completion of his masterpiece in 1698. He also designed the towers of Westminster Abbey. Then born on October the 21st, 1917, Dizzy Gillespie, born John Burks Gillespie, the American jazz trumpeter. Gillespie and Charlie Parker were major figures in the development of bebop and modern jazz. In 1963, he ran for US president and promised that if he was elected, the White House would be renamed the Blues House and his cabinet would be composed of Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, Ray Charles, Malcolm X and Philip Stiller. Needless to say, history proves that he wasn't elected. Born on October the 23rd, 1905, Gertrude Caroline Edirle, American swimmer. Gertrude Edirle was the first woman to swim the English Channel in 1926. A time of 14 hours and 34 minutes for the 21-mile swim was almost 2 hours faster than the current men's record. A record stood until 1950. She also won 3 Olympic medals, including a gold in the 1924 Summer Olympics. She was hard of hearing since childhood due to measles, and by the 1940s she was almost completely deaf, but she taught swimming to deaf children. Back in 1895, on October the 22nd, the Montparnasse derailment occurred when the Granville Paris Express overran the buffer stop at its Gare Montparnasse terminus. The driver was trying to make up for lost time and he entered the station too fast and the train's air brakes failed to stop it. The train tore through the stationery, fell onto the road below where it stood on its nose. A woman in the street below was killed by the falling masonry. The driver was fined 50 francs for approaching the station too fast, and one of the guards was fined 25 francs because he'd been doing paperwork and failed to apply the handbrake. That's your lot for this week, folks. Enjoy the quiz and the rest of the disc. This is Rod saying bye for now. Bye.
We'll run through all the answers with Mina at the end of this week's edition, who should be along now with the weather. So how's it looking?
A bit of everything again this week, with some sunshine, cloud and showers at times. Temperatures between 10 and 14 degrees, so perhaps a little bit cooler than last week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:39 a.m. for sunrise and 18:08 p.m. for the sunset. Friday 23rd of October, we start with light rain showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees with low UV levels. Saturday 24th of October, we have light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 14 degrees with low UV levels. Sunday 25th of October, we have light rain showers and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees with low UV levels. Moving on to Monday 26th of October, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees with low UV levels. Tuesday 27th of October, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 11 degrees with low UV levels. Wednesday 28th of October, we have light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees with low UV levels. And finally, Thursday 29th of October, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 11 degrees with low UV levels. So again, a bit of everything this week, but whatever the weather, enjoy the weather.
And you too, Mina. News from our local football clubs now, and after the international break, our teams have been back in action. Here's Ian to tell us all about it.
Albion's patience in the transfer market has been rewarded after they finally completed the signing of Carlan Grant from Huddersfield. The two clubs have agreed a permanent transfer that will see Albion pay £15 million over the next 6 years, the length of 23-year-old Grant's contract. He's the ninth player the Baggies have signed since winning promotion. West Brom defender Dara O'Shea tasted defeat on his senior debut for the Republic of Ireland. The 21-year-old impressed in the Nations League clash away to Finland, but ended up on the losing side as the hosts claimed a 1-0 win in Helsinki. Albion missed the chance to record their first Premier League win of the season after they were held to a goalless draw by Burnley. In an even and keenly contested clash at the Hawthorns, the Baggies enjoyed 57% possession but saw their best efforts thwarted by the excellent Nick Pope. Just days after being snapped up from Huddersfield, striker Carlin Grant saw a debut goal narrowly chalked off for offside by VAR. Then, after the interval, Pope made a fantastic triple save to deny Grady Diangana, Mateus Pereira and Branislav Ivanovic in quick succession. Burnley also had their moments though, with Chris Wood hitting the bar and Sam Johnston making an excellent stop to keep out an Ashley Barnes header. And that meant, on the balance of play, a draw was arguably the right result, with both teams needing to find a bit more magic in the final third to deserve the win. Albion are next in action on Monday the 26th of October, away to Brighton with a 5:30pm kickoff. 16 Wolves players returned to Compton after an extremely busy international break. Connor Cody, England. Adama Traore, having finally made his Spain bow and looking set to sign a new contract at Wolves. Rui Patricio, Ruben Neves, João Moutinho, Nelson Semedo and Daniel Podence for Portugal. Leander Dendonca for Belgium. Raul Jimenez found the net scoring from the spot in a 1-0 win over the Netherlands in Amsterdam. Romain Saiz for Morocco. Pedro Neto and Vitinha for Portugal's under-21s. Also on under-21s duty were wingbacks Rayan Aïnouri for France and Oscar Buer for Denmark. Club record £35 million signing Fabio Silva, along with defender Christian Marques, was part of Portugal's under-21s training camp in Lisbon. Silva has also made final 20-man shortlist for the prestigious Golden Boy Award for 2020. Wolves defender Ryan Bennett has moved to Swansea on a permanent deal, while youngsters Dion Sanderson and Niall Ennis have both headed out on loan. Bennett heads to the Liberty Stadium after making 92 appearances for Wolves, who are not receiving any money up front for the 30-year-old, but the deal does include appearance and promotion bonuses. Young defender Sanderson, meanwhile, is off to Sunderland for the season after agreeing a new 2-year Wolves contract. Centre-forward Ennis will also spend 2020-2021 in League One with Burton Albion. Wolves loanee Morgan Gibbs-White will miss 3 months of action at Swansea after fracturing his foot. The 20-year-old midfielder, who had started strongly at the Liberty Stadium, suffered the injury in a 2-1 victory over Millwall before the international break. Wolves had Lady Luck firmly on their side as they made it back-to-back victories with a 1-0 win after a far better second half at Leeds. Starman Raul Jimenez won it as his shot from the edge of the box took a huge nick off Calvin Phillips, much to the relief of Nuno Espirito Santo. His team were well below par in the first period, but they also had a Romain Saiz strike chalked off as they looked an entirely different side after the interval. Wolves, 5 games into the 2020-21 campaign, have risen to 6th in the Premier League table. Wolves' next game is at home to Newcastle on Sunday the 25th of October with a 4:30pm kickoff.
Thanks, Ian. Now, as we approach the end of October, when British summertime officially ends, it's the time of the year when the clocks go back an hour. It comes round quickly, doesn't it? Here's Angela.
The leaves are turning, the temperatures are dropping, the sun is rising slightly later each day, and it's time for the clocks to change. They change twice a year, once in March when they go forward by an hour, and once on the last Sunday of October when they go back by an hour. British summertime will come to an end on Sunday, October the 25th at 2 a.m, when the UK will revert to Greenwich Mean Time, the standard time zone against which all others are set, by going back 1 hour to 1 a.m. A clever way to remember the hour change rule is spring forward, fall back. The change will usher in shorter days and longer nights. Most smartphones, computers and other devices connected to the internet normally update the time automatically, as will some talking watches and clocks. but analogue watches or clocks will need to be manually reset. The custom of changing the clocks by an hour started more than 100 years ago. In 1916, Parliament passed the Summertime Act, thereby creating British summertime. It was the result of a campaign started in 1907 by William Willett to stop people wasting valuable hours of light in the summer months and to save fuel during the First World War. A keen supporter of the outdoors, he noticed that during the summer people were still asleep when the sun had risen, and he wanted to stop Brits from wasting valuable daylight hours. Back then, the clocks were set to Greenwich Mean Time, meaning it was light by 3 a.m. and dark at 9 p.m. in midsummer. Willett published a pamphlet called The Waste of Daylight, in a bid to get people out of bed earlier, spend more time outdoors during the day, and save energy by changing the nation's clocks, arguing it would not only improve health and happiness, but it would save the country £2.5 million. There are those in favour and against changing clock times. There have been various trials over the decades, from double summer time, GMT plus 2 hours during the Second World War, to permanent British summer time, GMT plus 1 hour during the late 1960s. But the current system of changing the clocks at the end of March and October has been in place now since 1972. In March 2019, the European Parliament backed a proposal to abolish the clock changing practices from 2021. While this was good news for some, it has raised concerns of the implementation of a time zone border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. In 2011, a YouGov poll found that 53% of Britons supported moving clocks forward an hour permanently, while 32% opposed the change. The proposals in Scotland were met less warmly, as the sun would not rise fully until 10 a.m. in some parts if the clocks were not put back an hour in October. Spare a thought for the staff of the Royal Collection. They spent over 50 hours adjusting over 1,000 clocks spread across the official residences of the Queen. Following months of planning, staff at Buckingham Palace, Windsor Castle and the Palace of Holyrood House in Edinburgh start work in the early hours of the morning to ensure that the time is set accurately. There are 379 timepieces at Windsor Castle, 500 at Buckingham Palace and 80 at the Palace of Holyrood, including organs clocks, astronomical clocks, musical clocks and mechanical clocks. At least we don't have that headache. In the UK, the maximum 16 hours and 50 minutes of daylight falls on the longest day in June. This is also known as the summer solstice. On the shortest day, December the 21st, this will dwindle to just 7 hours and 49 minutes, when in London the sun rises at 8:03 a.m. and sets at 3:53 p.m. A date for your diary is Sunday, March the 28th, 2021, when the clocks wind forward again at 1 a.m. and British summertime begins all over again. But for now, don't forget to put your clocks back an hour and revert to Greenwich Mean Time on Sunday the 25th of October. But on a plus note, at least we can all have an extra hour in bed.
That'll do me. Thanks, Angela. Now, this week's big flashback quiz. We're all waiting. Are you prepared to give us the answers, Mina?
I am, and the answers are here, ready. So, how did you get on? Let's find out. Question one. How many lives is it said a pigeon saved in World War II? The answer is 1,000. Question two. What was the nationality of Michael Stifel, who predicted the end of the world in 1533? He was German. Question three. In what year was Sir Christopher Wren born? And the answer here is 1632. Question four. What was the name of the famous trumpeter who ran for president of the USA in 1963? And the answer here is Dizzy Gillespie. Question 5. In 1905, Gertrude Edrell swam the English Channel. But what was her time? The answer here, of course, is 14 hours and 34 minutes. And finally, question 6. How much was the train driver fined for driving too fast when he crashed his train at the Montparnasse train derailment in Paris in 1895? And the answer here is he was fined just 50 francs and the guards 25 francs for not paying attention. We'll test you again with a flashback quiz next week. But now it's Pete with another quiz to close this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Are you ready, Pete?
I am, Mina. So to finish, let's do our little music quiz at the end and see if we can pose a few questions for you to get you thinking up until next week. So what we do, we take a song title and we miss out a word in the song title. I'll put the word what in its place, so what, and really just guess the title of the song. So let's start off then. From 1961, Walking Back to What? That's by Helen Shapiro. Okay, so Helen Shapiro from 1961, Walking Back to What? Yeah. From 1962, A Picture of What? That's Joe Brown. So A Picture of What? Joe Brown. And finally, from 1963, Wayward What? By Frank Ifield. So Wayward What? Frank Ifield. As always, thank you to Andy Coulson for sending in the questions. As always, we appreciate them, Andy. And as always, we'll give you the answers at the start of next week's edition. So, it's over to you, Simon.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!